In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, St. Paul, as he does in his epistles, teaches us the finer points of living out the gospel message of our Lord. In his epistle to the Philippians, which we just heard, he tells us to rejoice because the Lord is nigh. We also heard the same admonition in today's introit. Now we can ask ourselves the question at this point, what is this joy or rejoicing? What is St. Paul talking about? Well, we have to remember that this joy, which underlies the penitential and a somewhat somber aspect of Advent, springs not from the pursuit of happiness, but from the recognition that God has already come among us. So it's a gift, not an achievement. If we're attentive, we can discern the signs of divine presence in the world at this very moment. And here I'm not really speaking about the Blessed Sacrament, which is the primary sign of divine presence among us. But I'm talking about more, perhaps, people and events in beauty, in order, in acts of charity, in virtue, in our prayer, and solemn acts of worship. Opening our eyes to God's coming among us allows us to rejoice always, even in times of difficulty or suffering. So we're reminded every Gaudete Sunday, where we have the short break at the midpoint of Advent, to rejoice or to be glad, and why this has to be the underlying theme in living out our Catholic faith. Now, when we reflect on the idea of rejoicing in the midst of penance or the midst of suffering and sadness, we have to realize that it's not restricted just to this one Mass. It really relates to the character of each and every Mass. Now, what do we do when we offer Holy Mass? Well, the primary thing we accomplish is the renewal, the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary, the sacrifice of the cross. And what could be a sadder thought than to think of our blessed Lord, innocent, sinless, painfully dying for our sins? He had been beaten and mocked and scourged, spat upon, and then was led away to a slow and excruciating death, 3 hours of agony on the cross. Nothing could be sadder than this. Yet isn't it also the cause of our joy? Jesus Christ died, for sure, but Jesus also rose from the dead, glorious and immortal, on Easter Sunday. Our Lord suffered a painful death, but yet by that death we are restored to life. We are restored to the joy of union with God in heaven for all eternity. From a human perspective, the sacrifice of the cross is at the center of God's glory. We also remember that our Lord is both priest and victim. At Mass, he's represented by one of his creatures, a mere man. But that man, in a sense, disappears in Christ. His own personality is swallowed up in the person of Christ. His actions are performed, as we say in Latin, in persona Christi. As Christ, he offers bread and wine, a spotless victim, just as Christ offered his sinless body and blood on the tree of the cross. And when the priest pronounces the words of consecration, "For this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, shed for the remission of sins," it is Christ himself who speaks through that priest. And the bread and wine, as we know, become his body, blood, soul, and divinity, what we call transubstantiation. And once again, we have joy out of sadness. Our Lord comes to be among us, to nourish us, and to impart to us his grace. And we know also that our Lord is truly present on the altar. And not only on this altar, but on all the altars of the world, where this most blessed sacrament is reserved, in the tabernacle. Even this brings, if we think about it, a mixture of sadness and joy. Sometimes our Lord waits for hours, even days, waiting for people to come to visit him, to offer their worship and adoration. When we stay away, in a sense, our Lord feels the pangs of loneliness. When we come to pray, we bring joy to his sacred heart. So we see the same thing in the world around us. The world can be, as we know, a difficult place in which we live. We know this. All we have to do is look around. All we have to do is live a little bit. Even the consolations it offers are often deceptive. False friendships, transient love affairs, fleeting success, fading beauty, a son, a downward spiral, and discouragement to despair. The difficulties and sufferings of life only make sense when God is made a part of that life. With God, we can see joy even in the midst of great trials. When we share our Lord's suffering, he shares his triumph and joy with us in return. You know, Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to tell a story about priest in a certain Nazi concentration camp, secretly offering mass with just a little piece of bread and a thimble full of wine, which they probably got clandestinely. He spoke about the immense satisfaction they felt when, for if only a few moments, our Lord was present with them. And perhaps for the first time in their priestly lives, they understood what it meant to suffer with Christ. They understood what it was to be a victim with Christ. And they knew that in the eternal scheme of things, they had a power far beyond that of their captors. Now, today we have a great deal of confusion in the modern church, which arises from the fact that many modern priests have forgotten that they are other Christs. As other Christ and alter Christi, they share not only in Christ's priesthood, but also in his victimhood. As Bishop Sheen would say, they want to have Christ without the cross. They want to see the resurrected Christ without seeing him crucified first. They would have the Mass become a friendly community gathering without recognizing that it's first and foremost the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary. You know, a few years before he was elected Pope, Benedict XVI, he was then Cardinal Ratzinger, wrote that some modern priests don't even believe in the sacrificial nature of Mass. And he said, one wonders why they even call themselves priests if they're not offering sacrifice. This, after all, as we know, my friends, is the way of the world. We try to arrange everything so that it's painless. And there's nothing much wrong with that, except We become conditioned. We become conditioned to seek pleasure and to cower from any suffering or difficulty. This is called effeminacy. We avoid responsibility. We avoid doing our duty. We avoid doing what we ought, as Bishop Sheen used to say. We do it in our worldly affairs, seeking gratification while ignoring questions of good and evil. And it spills over into our spiritual life. We may stay in a soft, warm bed on Sunday morning rather than coming to Mass. We waste our time before the television or computer or cell phone, constantly scrolling. For what? Rather than investing it in prayer and meditation or even some useful secular pursuit. Ultimately, following the path of self-gratification leads us away from the true source of joy in our lives, the only source of joy in our lives, the only real source. Preoccupation with pleasure and our own comfort leads us away from Jesus Christ himself. And here it's useful to note the prayers of Mass, especially the collects and post-communion prayers, which often speak of despising the things of the earth and delighting in the things of heaven. So, my friends, the lesson to be learned today, this Gaudete Sunday, is that life, as we know, is a mixture of joy along with pain, but that is life. We have to keep things in perspective and not try to formulate some sort of fantasy world. We have to understand that sacrificing ourselves is sometimes painful. Doing what we ought is sometimes painful. Doing our duty is sometimes painful. But doing what we ought is always necessary and ultimately rewarded with true joy. In this spirit, we strive to keep a good Advent so that we know the joy of our blessed Lord when we celebrate his birth at Christmas. We rejoice not only because Jesus is God and offered himself to us for our sins, not only because he has come to be present among us, but more importantly, because his presence changes us. It heals us and transforms us. We remember the response of our blessed Lord in today's gospel to the disciples of St. John the Baptist and the Pharisees. The blind regain their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised to life, and the poor have the gospel proclaimed to them. We can be healed as well. We can be transformed as well. Not only from our physical ailments, but even more so of our spiritual ones, our spiritual blindness, our impurity, our indifference, our indolence, our lack of motivation, our sinfulness. Even though we are poor, Jesus offers us the riches of his divine life here and now, so that one day we can partake and rejoice in that divine life in all its fullness in the glory of heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.